Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Football Bet Club podcast. My name is Nathan. Good afternoon or good day to all. I'm joined today by Justin and Greg.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, gents? All right?
Yeah, all right, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Refresh after the international break.
Oh, thank gosh it's over.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm a stalwart for the international break. I quite like it.
What do you like about it?
I like the fact that you get to check out all these players who are potentially going to go to this summer's Euros. I love that.
Oh, I'm desperate for the league's comeback, I've got to be honest. I can't share the joy.
I love a big tournament, but the build up to it and especially the friendlies and the hype that now goes with it, with the big result for England against Germany.
Yeah, a lot of hype.
The hype machine is just out of control from one good performance. And then we lose to Holland. The whole thing just annoys me. I just want the tournament to start as soon as possible. I'd rather we just had a hiatus and no international football until the tournament starts.
Wow, well that's
I think maybe bring them in like at different stages, like when they have the winter break, you play with your internationals then, or like at the end of the season you have a kind of like winter type of summer sort of breakaway bit where they play the internationals then. I just hate the break in between, you know.
Yeah.
Just especially from, you know, as soon as we're a serial betters, you know, you're just finding some form in a particular team and then they have to have a little break.
I think as football fans, I think the most like horrible thing is when your team loses and then you don't have another game for 2 weeks. It's just infuriating.
Impacted our betting over the past week because obviously we're a group of friends. We all backed two bets, one over 1.65 and one over 1.4, and we put that into an eightfold accumulator. And we obviously try and beat the bookie. Now, because of the international break, obviously we had less bets to kind of choose from, so it's affected our progress with that anyway. So what we'll do is we'll put on two of our bets, and so we put them into the eightfold accumulator, and also the wild card.
Who is
an anonymous entity who tips us every week.
Now I have a theory.
I've got a theory.
Now anyone following the news in the last few days would have seen that Martin Demichelis, the Manchester City defender, has been charged with breach of betting laws, gambling laws.
You could call him a defender.
Martin Demichelis.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right? So he's been charged. And it's making me think, well, one of two things. There's the outside possibility that the wild card is Martin Demichelis, and this is why he didn't want to be known.
Yeah.
Or he is still a figure within the game. That's my theory at the moment.
At high level?
Well, I would say probably more likely to be League Two. Maybe a physio at Yeovil.
Yeah. Or just kind of just Martin Demichelis's, you know, sort of personal trainer or something.
Could I think Martin Demichelis's personal trainer is allowed to put bets on.
Yeah?
I would have thought so.
Okay. I don't know the rules surrounding. I would have thought they would have been pretty tight. But
yeah, because where he's been caught out is he's been betting on games in football, which apparently you can't do at all if you're a footballer now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's been caught out.
Makes sense.
I thought the law was just that you couldn't bet against yourself. I thought
no,
you could.
It changed a few years ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyone who is now a professional footballer cannot back any kind of footballing results or bet or gamble or whatever.
They can't even do the global bet of the week.
Well, this is you know.
Well, they can gamble because the guy from Germany, the striker from Wolfsburg or something, wasn't it? Cruz. Yeah.
Yeah,
he won £60,000 in a casino, and he left it on the back seat of a taxi.
Oh.
And then his club fined him £20,000 as well for gambling. He paid £80,000 the other week. So,
well, it just shows, you know, even if you have captured your dream of being a professional footballer, there's some things you just have to leave on the wayside, and the global bet of the week is just one of them.
Yeah. Okay, so naughty wildcard, aka Martin Demichelis.
Yeah.
Well, I think he might be another former kind of Premier League footballer. Did anyone see the news that Adrien De Zeeuw, do you remember him? De Zeeuw.
Yeah.
Adrien De Zeeuw, I can't even pronounce
it.
I remember
centre half,
Wigan
centre half as
Wigan,
well, I believe.
Yeah. And Barnsley and Portsmouth. He is actually now turned himself into a private eye.
Yes, I read this.
And if you look very closely on Twitter at the Wild Cards logo, it looks very similar to a sort of murky Adrien De Zeeuw, well, a kind of sort of private eye detective. I'm just saying that the two and two maybe haven't been seen in the same room together, and then there may be something in it. You know, he knows his football. He's, you know, kind of murky around the fringes of society.
So this guy used to be a Premier League defender, and now he's like, these are the type of people that you like, I don't know, let's say if somebody was cheating on their missus or something, yeah, the missus would try and...
Yeah, you go and talk to her, you enter town.
Yep.
What a random career change.
Yep.
There you go.
So the wild card could be Ian Desayu, yeah, and he never came forwards with his identity because of his involvement in the game, but is now private eye, which again is a reason for him to stay secret.
Either way though, he's very happy with life at the moment because
he is,
of his
yeah,
very good form on our FBC betting.
Well, I think we should move on to that because in reviewing last week's bets, rather uncharacteristically, he got 2 out of 2 where everyone else didn't. So he's actually
the most informed bet. He's wearing the, I think we're going to have to get an FBC yellow jersey for like the current stage leader, and which has been now taken off your back, Nathan. The wild card is wherever he is.
Do we get a polka dot one for King of Continental?
King of Continental,
yeah, right? Yeah, which I think I also lost this week. anyway, his first one was Bristol Rovers to beat Cambridge 1.8.
Yep. Sailed in, didn't it?
Easy.
What was the score in that one, gents?
3-0. I actually thought Cambridge might put up a bit more of a fight than that. I remember saying I was a bit nervous, but Bristol was too good, and 3-0 cruised in easy. Probably just easiest bet of the week, really.
Yeah, Cambridge United really unpredictable. I think on the Monday they drew with Oxford United, who are flying at the moment. I don't know if that's a derby of sorts, given the boat race and the universities and what have you. But you know, Cambridge get some good results, but Bristol Rovers really turned them over.
And the other one was a Northampton bet. He tried to say that they were going to beat Newport at 1.66, and that came off.
That did narrowly in the end, 1-0.
But
they were leading for most of the game, but I don't think they were ever in too much bother.
So yeah, pretty sits and pretty.
So 2 from 2 for the wild card.
Unheard of. He is climbing back up the league. He's not that far off not being bottom anymore. I think there is some hope, but Maybe his true form will return.
The league has condensed over the past 3 to 4 weeks, hasn't
it?
We've all come a lot closer. Greg was way out in front.
I think
the wild card was way down.
I'd still like to think I was fairly way out in front. But,
I think it's indicative of the tail end of the season. I think it's getting harder and harder, and I think that there's more mistakes being made, and it's bringing people closer and closer.
Statisticians out there would probably call this regression to the mean. It's a very statistical phenomenon where people who've been above the where they should be kind of drop down a bit to get back to their normal station in life. And we as a team are on 53%. We're kind of getting around that kind of condensed area there around the 50s, which obviously we need to do a bit better than.
So maybe if you listen to this, you might want to back half-ish of our eights every week.
We always get half.
Yeah, we always seem to get a half.
We always get half. So we just get a bit greedy and try and do all eight. I mean, if you wanted to just be safe, go for half.
Yeah, and listen to the podcast, because quite often we end up kind of dissuading each other quite a lot.
Yeah,
and we end
true.
Up being right. I mean, after a little bit of a conference about it, it becomes very apparent that certain bets are more fancied amongst us than others, and those maybe are the ones to back. I did want to say a little thing quickly. There was a bit of a mistake. This is a little bit of a kind of an editorial mistake, should we say, last week, where you were quizzed about Nottingham Forest's most expensive player.
Yeah. You being Greg.
Greg being quizzed. And Nick Burns on Twitter rightly corrected me that their highest ever transfer fee paid was actually over $5 million for Britt Assombalonga. Now, I should just say the reason I made that mistake is because that fee was never disclosed. So officially, on the Nottingham Forest records, it still says Pierre Van Hooijdonk. But apparently, it's kind of an accepted truth that Britt Assombalonga is actually your transfer fee record.
Yeah, I knew that when I made that statement. And I thought that Britt Assombalonga, I'm really kind of struggling to recognise him as a real player or even real person at the moment, because he hasn't played for us for 13 months. So I'm only going to recognise that transfer when he comes back onto the pitch.
13 months?
Because he just seems to be invisible.
When was the last time?
He's a great player. Great player
was out. Owen Hargreaves. It's got to be Owen Hargreaves, right? 13 months is a hell of a long time.
I can't stand Owen Hargreaves. Just when he's on BT Sport, he constantly waxing lyrical about Bayern Munich, refusing to acknowledge that there's another team playing. He's constantly going on about how amazing, but even when they're losing or something. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, he's not great.
Let's get over your hatred for
just came out.
Justin, mate, how'd you get on last week?
So I was 1 for 2, and it was a bit of a roller coaster 1 for 2. I'll start with the one I won, which was the Sheffield United to beat Crewe, which was fairly low odds. I think it was 1.44.
Correct.
And with 20 minutes to go, it looked plain sailing. Sheffield United 2 goals up, and then Crewe came roaring back, got it to 2-2. and Sheffield United scored a last-minute winner to win the game 3-2. So that was a roller coaster. But at the same time, I had all sorts of issues with my other pick, which was a bold over 2.5 in the Oxford-Stevenage match. Now, I said on the show last week that I was going for a big Oxford win, and that was completely blown out the window by an Oxford red card in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, I remember that.
Now, there was... In one sense, I was disappointed because it meant what I was really going for was the big Oxford win, which seemed less likely. But it did also open the door up to the possibility of Stevenage actually scoring some goals. Mm. Then Oxford missed a penalty just on the stroke of half time.
You're quite lucky in this game.
Then second half, both teams did score. Oxford took the lead. Stevenage came back. And it seemed a bit of a frantic final 20 minutes with both teams really going for it, but no one managed to get that third goal. So I missed out on the over 2.5. And it was just... It's one of those things, you know. You go into that game thinking you're betting on one thing, and then a red card and a missed penalty.
Yeah,
it's just
that's the worst thing,
isn't it? When you have a bet and you pay your bet down, you've done some research, and then you get a red card in the first half, and it's just it's a horrible feeling. I think it was kind of dreading it. What can you do? I mean, I thought they were quite good bets and lucky really in that one, and I'm quite glad for you that Sheffield United scored a last minute goal, because I think you would have done your head in if you
had. I was close to just quitting. Quitting everything.
Throwing it all away.
Not just the football bet club, but just quitting life, going to live in a cave. And
well, one thing you've always got is your statistical knowledge about your own club. Which brings me on to this week's. And how do you know your club?
How do I know my club?
How well do you know your club? Now, obviously, I'm trying to get Justin back for last week. He pinned me on the spot here and gave me five difficult questions about Nottingham Forest.
When listening back, they were challenging questions.
I thought they were questions that any fan should know.
Apart from maybe the Leon Bestis one, that was a bit special. I think your knowledge of Everton is probably very sound. So I'm only going to do one question about Everton.
Oh, God.
And then I've got some other more. I've got a twist on it later on. So the first question about Everton, and you'll get this easily, obviously.
Oh, God. Don't say that.
Everton called when it was first formed in 1878?
Okay, St. Domingos.
Yeah, so I think that's a trial. So we'll just move on.
You can take your time and think about these if you want.
Yeah, that's very good.
You know,
so Justin knows his stuff. But
for a more entertaining show.
could he tell me which former Everton player?
God.
Autobiography was called The Bin Man Chronicles.
I've got that book.
Yes, you see, here we go.
That is Neville Southall.
Very good, very good.
The Bin Man Chronicles.
Yes. Yeah, he was known as The Bin Man, obviously, because of his dishevelled appearance.
Oh, right.
See, that is solid. So that is why later on in the show we'll be going on to a slight twist, because Justin's knowledge of his club is much better than mine. So, very good.
All right, so I'll talk about how I got, for the first time in 6 weeks, 0-2. So I've hung up that yellow jersey of the most informed better and given it to the wild card. The first one, which I really thought was going to come off. It's 1.83, both teams to score. Hartlepool versus AFC Wimbledon, and Hartlepool got a 1-0 win. AFC have got goals. Hartlepool are trying to stay up. They're doing well. They've been in a really good run of form. And I think that now has made them maybe even 5 points clear of the relegation zone, when a few weeks ago, they were really down there in the bottom three. So disappointed with that. I would still back each team for goals, but I don't know, Hartlepool, just a narrow, squeaky 1-0 win. And then on to Clyde, which obviously you guys don't really like the fact that I'm betting in Scotland, which came up because we don't have a very good track record there. I backed a Clyde win at home versus Arbroath 1.57, and Clyde actually went 1-0 up, and Arbroath came back from nowhere and got a 2-1 win. Yeah, so the betting record in Scotland, I backed a couple recently, and they've both come off. I know this was a hearty debate on last week's
Well, I think Justin warned us. He said the last podcast or the one before, he said, please warn me. If I ever try to go to Scotland, please warn me.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then so Nathan tried to go to Scotland, so I warned him, and lo and behold...
Yeah,
Clyde.
I mean Clyde Arbroath.
Scots Division
is
two.
Just
the only thing I didn't mention in last week's preamble before that I talked about the bet was the fact that Clyde are actually better away from home. And Arbroath are actually decent away from home. Great. So that was one thing.
Yeah, it was.
I intelligently left out, and I think it came out to bite me in the rear.
I've got to say as well, the Hartlepool versus AFC Wimbledon one. To me, I'll be honest with you, that seemed like a completely random bet. Like, if I'd gone up and down the leagues with like a pin, I might have gone like, all right, this one's going to be both teams to score and come out of Hartlepool AFC Wimbledon. That one came out of nowhere.
No, I think both teams have. I mean, because Hartlepool are in a really good run of form, they're scoring a few goals, and AFC generally bag one.
Yeah, I thought AFC would be the ones that score. It's just, I don't know. I think when you've looked at both teams to score, you've got to look at the teams' sort of record of having games where it's gone back and forth a bit. So if you look at how many sort of 2-1, 3-2, 2-alls they've had, because sometimes you get a lot of teams you can just score all the time, but just kind of grind out 1-0, 2-0s. I didn't fancy that one either, got to be honest.
But yeah, Clyde Arbroath, I think that should put the seal on Scotland Division 2 betting.
I think that should be a new rule, I think, to be honest. If I win, I
might even be backing Scotland later on, who knows?
Please don't.
We'll find out. Right.
I think we should maybe instigate a rule that whoever wins the football bet club gets to put in a new rule for next season.
I think that's a great ban
on Scottish football.
But imagine in 10 seasons.
Maybe not the whole of Scotland, but Scots 2.
Yeah, certainly no Scots 1 or 2. Maybe Championship and above is allowed. Not that that's been any good to us either.
I would protest. Protest.
Well, okay. Onto my word then. My bets took I'm starting to grind out a kind of annoying pattern here that I do one BTTS bet that comes in and then I try and pick a win and it doesn't, and I sort of get 50% every week, which is obviously not a good in an accumulator. So it's the same story again, which is Exeter versus Barnet BTTS. That came in the first half inside 25 minutes.
Yeah, it came in really early.
Really nice and easy. It was only 1-1 though. I was expecting more goals actually in that. But yeah, so that was that one at 1.8, which was steady. And then I was just waiting for the next day, the Saturday early kickoff, because I remember it was Good Friday, wasn't it? So that's when the majority of the fixtures were on. Then we had Burton Albion to beat Oldham. And Oldham, kind of towards the bottom of the league, Burton Albion running high at the top. I thought 1.7, no brainer, nice and easy.
Yeah.
0-0.
Yeah. I remember saying last week that I wanted that one, but you took it.
And I know.
I'm kind of glad you did, because.
One thing you did mention last week is you had a long list of 8 to 10 bets which you thought would come in, and you tried to pick the two favourites, the ones that you thought were definitely going to come in.
Yes.
Any idea on how the others got? I mean, I'm not going to ask you to go through all of them, but did some of them maybe come off or not?
Yeah, I think most of them pretty good last week. I'm not sure. I can't remember actually.
Yeah, I use a very similar method, and what I'm finding is that most of the ones I don't pick do come in. It's just like Murphy's Law that actually the ones I do pick are the ones that kind of don't win.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have a very similar method.
Yeah, I think that we all do that. We all kind of click on and decide, trying to figure out what the best ones and choose the best two from those ones. But it doesn't always work out that way. So that's really the end. Oh no, hang on. Sorry, did you go on to your next one? Sorry.
Yeah, I've done both of mine. Yeah, and we've been through the wild cards, haven't we? So
that's the end of this week's review. So what we'll do now is crack on to this week's bets, and again, at a tribute, we will go. First of all, to the wild card and see what he's backed this week. The first one, he's going back to Atletico Madrid, which stung us a little while ago.
They did, but it was really, they really let us down because it was off the back of them having played 120 minutes in a penalty shootout.
Oh, that was you, Greg.
What idiot would back them after the Champions League, extra time, a penalty shootout?
Yeah. That was me. So, there's no Champions League this week because it's the international week. They might have a few tired internationals, but I think they're unlikely to drop points there. I'd see that being a fairly safe win.
So. He's backed them at home to beat Real Betis, and it just scrapes into the boundaries, really, because it's a 1.4.
Yeah. And the reason we have that rule about having to have one pick over 1.4 is just really to make it all worthwhile and to keep the value of the accumulator at a reasonable level. There's nothing worse in betting than having a whole load of bets on an accumulator and then the 1.25, probably from somewhere like Peterhead, letting you down. That would ruin your accumulator.
Yeah. He did actually say in conversation that if it did dip below the 1.4, he was going to go and back PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, I think it was to beat Nice, I think it was. Nice. And I think that was a 1.5, but we're a bit concerned about that because they've got the title now and they're just probably focused on the Champions League.
Yeah.
Depends on how they present, what type of players and what their mentality is towards the league. So yeah, that one's out there. The next one is Rochdale win at home versus Doncaster, 1.85.
Now I think he's doing a bit of a Nathan here. Yeah. I think he's backing Doncaster to lose. Mm-hmm. Rochdale, not great. They lost to Wigan, was it on Monday? You know, they're not doing particularly well themselves, but Doncaster are in free fall at the moment. So I think he's doing a bit of a Nathan and he's backing on a team to lose, as you would put it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know too much about Rochdale's form. I don't think I've backed them this season, but I mean, I know Doncaster are shocking, but...
Yeah, they're. I mean, Rochdale are just mid-table. They're as mid-table as it gets in League One at the moment.
But again, you know, average mid-table team, if it's a play four team at the bottom, who knows?
This is the case. Yeah, it's true. We shall see.
He's the most in form, isn't he? So.
He is the most in form.
He's got the yellow jersey on, mate.
He's got the yellow jersey. But I have to say that I wouldn't have backed that one.
Yeah.
I probably would have avoided. But then last week I backed Hartlepool to get both teams scored against AFC. So who knows?
Go on the wild card.
Yeah, go on the wild card. Justin, talk to me about this week's bets.
So I've gone with Northampton, who are at home to win 1.44, I believe.
It's Notts County, are they? No.
Yeah.
It's Notts County, yes. Yeah. Notts County are down in the kind of... in the bottom five or six. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're actually in too much danger. I think the bottom two teams are quite far adrift in League Two.
They're a weak side, though.
But they're a weak side. Mm. Northampton, now they've let me down before. I backed them to beat Cambridge about 3 or 4 weeks ago and they got a draw. But actually, they've drawn like two games out of the last 15. The rest have been wins. Northampton have pretty much not lost in 2016.
Yeah,
my one kind of worry is that I managed to pick another draw. But I think you know, they're a pretty safe pair of hands. They seem to be running away with the League Two title.
I would quite like to check your stats here, Justin.
Yeah.
Because I know that Northampton have been in very good form, and you've commented on this two non-wins in the last 15.
So something like that. I looked yesterday on the I was looking on the BBC Sport on the league table where they show the form and they have it in green, red or grey.
Yeah.
And I think they show up to the last 12 and I think there was two out of the last 12 and I think their winning streak goes on earlier than that.
Oh, that's interesting because I brought this up last week and I thought that there had been a little bit of dodgy form and you said that you brought up the same type of thing. But the last 15, they've won, according to my stats, they've won 11. And they've drawn three and they've lost one.
Right, so they would have been before the last 12 then.
Yeah, that's right. But then in the last six, they've drawn three of the last six.
Really?
Yeah, that's what my stats. I mean, maybe I've made a mistake.
It may well be.
It'd
be nice if I had some stats to do the cider, wouldn't it, here? But I don't.
Stats off here, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but it's just possible, but they're unbeaten. That's my point.
Yeah.
And they don't lose.
Those three draws in that last six just ring home with me because I'm sure that obviously we've backed them once before.
It was Cambridge.
And I know that they've kind of had that kind of stuttering step of a team that have historically done well this season. So I'm a little bit nervous about that one. However,
I'm not nervous about it.
Notts County 1.45. The bookies think Sunderland banker.
To be honest, I almost changed it. I almost went for Gillingham to beat Coventry City. Now Coventry are woeful at the moment, Nathan.
I think it's no wins in the last nine.
Colchester last night.
Yeah, they lost to Colchester last night. I watched the game against Peterborough on Friday night. Was it? It was the late kickoff.
Yeah.
And actually, Coventry didn't play too badly.
They play good football now.
But A, they've got no one who can score goals. Mm. Adam Armstrong was not in the team. Mm. And their defence was an absolute shambles. The goals they conceded were awful. They were missing a player called Jake Stevens, who's on England under 21 duty, who was a centre back. So apparently that might have had an impact on it. But I really, Gillingham 2.35 to beat Coventry at home seems like really good odds. However, it's an unwritten rule, if you will, that we don't change our bets because often you end up changing and then the one you were going to back wins and the one you've decided to back now loses. It's another kind of Murphy's Law kind of aspect of it. And you dissuaded me from it. So I'm happy. Because last week I said, please, not 2 weeks ago, I said, please don't let me do anything stupid anymore, like betting Scotland. And you stopped me from changing. So
I think if you look at Northampton versus Notts County and Gillingham versus Coventry, I still think Northampton are more likely winners of their game than Gillingham are more likely to win their game.
True.
I think both will win.
But that's reflected in the odds.
It's reflected in the odds, but at this stage, I don't really care about the odds too much. We just need to nail.
Yeah, need a winner. Yeah,
like, okay,
right.
You know, and I think you're right. Gillingham are a good price. They probably win that game. But I think it's a bigger if than not Northampton. And I think you did the right thing by sticking with them. I think Northampton will blitz Notts County. Our loyal followers on Twitter, Bandini, is a Notts County fan. And he picked in the Easter Monday fans acker that we put together on Twitter. His first tip was Notts County to lose. Yeah. Every time. And he goes to the Meadow Lane regularly and he knows that they're a poor outfit.
Did they lose?
They drew 0-0. I don't think they'll win. I don't think they'll win. They were at home in that game, so I don't think they'll win away. Let's put it that way.
Okay. So my second one, I'm going to the Premier League. West Ham.
Welcome back, the Premier League.
West Ham at home to beat Crystal Palace, yes. And it was twos when I picked it. It's now down to 1.95, but it's around that two area, depending on which bookie you're with.
Price.
Really good price. West Ham, a lot of momentum. Crystal Palace, shocking at the moment.
Haven't won since 23rd of December.
Yeah. I was talking about the little thing on BBC Sport on the,
the tracker.
Theirs is all red. With a couple of greys. Yeah. Last 12.
I mean,
for that to be twos,
for a team that's going to probably get Champions League football, maybe, you know, and then the team that has got the worst form in England.
Is it the Pardew factor? Are the bookies taking into account that Pardew gets his teams motivated for when they play against his ex-teams or something like that? Mm. Are they seeing it as a derby? Because traditionally, no, in fact, it wasn't. It was never West Ham Crystal Palace. That was never really a derby.
But it is
West
a local Ham, game,
it's
though.
A local
it's
game,
a very local
it's,
game.
It's get to from either
yeah, players, but West Ham don't care about Crystal Palace, and Crystal Palace don't care about West Ham, really.
No.
West Ham care about Tottenham. They care slightly about Charlton, but I think that's more historical, and it's kind of Chelsea. They don't really care about Crystal Palace, and Crystal Palace care about Millwall and you know, some of the North West London teams. They don't really, South West London teams. I don't see it as a real derby.
I would fancy West Ham to beat anyone at home the way they're playing, let alone Crystal Palace, who've got horrific form. Did you see? I mean, Paye is scoring free kicks for France that are outrageous.
Scored on his birthday.
Also
coincides with my birthday.
There you go.
Which also coincides with Kante, who scored for France on our birthday.
What? Kante, you and Paye all share the same birthday?
Yeah.
And you all scored for France? That's an incredible story. apart from the last bit, that's true.
Yeah, just on the subject of Crystal Palace, do you think this is a truer kind of... I've never been a fan of Alan Pardew. I think he's a poor manager.
Yeah.
I think everywhere he's done poorly.
People taught him throughout England for this season.
He had maybe a year and a half of grace at Palace where his team did quite well.
Untouchable.
And now they seem to be reverting back to the way a Pardew team tends to play, which is poorly.
He starts off well, doesn't he? And then they
go down. Same thing that you just talked about earlier. What's that average?
Oh, regression to the mean.
Regression to the mean.
Yeah. So I don't know. Is this the real Pardew we're seeing in terms of his team? Because, I mean, he's been there for a few years now. He's brought in his own players, and they're terrible. He's brought some good players there.
Kabaye, isn't it? It's a goal scorer.
Kabaye is a fantastic player. And what a coup for a team like Crystal Palace to get Kabaye.
Yeah.
But then he's also spent, what was it, $8.5 million on Connor Wickham?
Oh, yeah.
He's a tank, he is. He's running through brick walls.
And he scores stunning
like
goals.
Captain America.
Unfortunately, he scores about 2 goals a season. They're both stunning, but they're just not enough of them.
Yeah,
he's huge. I remember seeing him really bully Jagielka and Stones. 1 year, but actually when they just let him have the ball.
It's not the only time that Jagielka got bullied. See him at the weekend.
Tuesday,
against Holland, when he just got absolutely shrugged.
Well, he was quite clearly fouled. It was a shove at the back.
He still got rinsed. He was still on the floor.
He just Stones. Yeah, but Stones fell over for the first goal.
He just tripped over.
Yeah,
I can't do that as centre back.
I question the wisdom of having any Everton defenders in the England team at the moment, considering that we have the worst defence in the Premier League.
It's a good point.
We should play Mikel Antonio at right back, though. I think that's what we're doing.
That's interesting. No, my only concern with that is obviously the international break, which probably would have a greater impact on West Ham, especially with Payet is at a big week returning to the international fold. But also Palace is one of those teams where they've been on such a bad run of form that you expect them at some point to get something. And it's the same, it's happened with Colchester, it's happened with a couple of like maybe
I'd agree with
Villa,
you,
which is the same reason I didn't want to back Villa.
I would totally agree with you. I just don't think it's going to be West Ham where they get something. I think West Ham are riding their own crest of a wave at the moment. The momentum's there, the quality's there. I think West Ham will be too strong for Palace.
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
I think you'll get 2 from 2 this week. I'm pretty confident in that.
Well, so, thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
High praise.
No. Yeah. So
what about me, Greg?
I don't,
I'm going to go into Milan to beat
Torino.
I can't
say the same with a continental champion or whatever you're calling yourself.
Yeah, I mean, Inter Milan to beat Torino. Inter Milan are at home, 1.75. Inter in a good run of form. They've won 2 of the last 3. Decent run of form. They're now 5th, so we're almost in the Champions League. I've also backed them before and they've won, so they're a favourite of mine kind of recently. Like I said, they're chasing the Champions League, so I'm hoping they're going to try and get something there. Torino in poor form, lost 3 at the last 4. They're 13th, they're 5 points clear of relegation, nothing to play for, and it's a decent odds. The only concern
Hold on, they're 5 points clear of relegation, they've got nothing to play for.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
the teams down there will be, you know, they're gone, mate, they're gone. Yeah.
They're probably taking some sort of dodgy money for relegation.
I'll be honest with you. I'm whatever you're, you know, if you're the continental expert, I'm pretty much the antithesis of
He's not the continental expert.
I just like giving myself if these you little like calling tags. Us,
okay, if you believe you're the continental expert, I believe I am the antithesis. When I bet on the continent, I bet solely on reputation. I see Inter, big club, Torino, smaller club, I back Inter.
No,
I'd be honest with you, I don't pay a huge amount of attention to where they are in the league. I've only ever like bet continentally on the FBC when I've been absolutely desperate and can't find anything in England. Yeah. So on paper, using my system, Inter are going to win, but I don't know anything about their league form.
Is this connected to the I'm going to back that team because I've heard of them, a la last week's Global Bet of the Week, which I thought was hilarious, by the way.
Well, that's, there is
some logic in that. You know, Inter Milan, we know they're a good team. Torino, we think they're an average team.
But then it doesn't always work because, for example, AC Milan at the moment, another team that I, you know, in my head I think of Maldini, I think of Hullet, I think of European Cups, they're awful this season.
Yeah, true.
So if I was doing the same thing with AC Milan, I'd be completely wrong. So I mean I'm putting my faith in you that you've done your research on Inter and Torino. Yeah.
The form guides just say it's a home win, but the one thing that does worry me is that it is a Sunday 7:45.
I saw that. The last game, we were all riding on this.
Yeah, if we're 7 out of 8 at 7:45 on Sunday, I am going to be regularly changing my underpants because I think it's going to be a tight one. It might be a nervous one. But the other one, I'm going to bring it back home, which I know that you're all going to be really happy for, which is the Premier League fixture of Liverpool versus Spurs, both teams to score 1.75.
That's the Saturday evening kickoff.
That's correct. So, I mean, we all know that Liverpool are inconsistent. They've either had like big wins or big losses, probably.
Not anymore. They've been on great form recently. I hate to say this, but they are finally looking like more of a Jurgen Klopp team. I think they're actually looking the part now. I think they're going to be really strong next year, which obviously is, I'd rather gargle with vitriol than say that, but nevertheless I think they're going to be really good next year and their form has been excellent the last few games.
Justin's obviously saying that as he does because he's an Evertonian, and this brings me on to my second round of questions how well do you know your club. Now I said there was a twist, and this twist is how well do you know your club on Championship Manager?
Oh my god.
I've not heard this question, but I'm backing Justin to get
I know Justin knows
whatever it is.
It depends now, it depends which edition.
Now Justin gives out Championship Manager regular information on the podcast. I'm going to test him, see if he knows his stuff.
Oh, great.
And there's a couple of these, but these get more and more difficult. I'm expecting to get the first one. In Champ 97-98.
I never played it.
Okay.
I didn't start playing until about 99.
Everton had just signed a legendary striker who became one of the all-time best signings in that edition of Champ.
He was signed by the club by Walter Smith for £4.5 million. In real life, he wasn't as good as he was in Championship Manager.
Oh, I know.
Can you name him? And how many appearances he made for Everton?
Oh, well, that second one, that and is a big and, mate.
Yeah, jeez. The second one's really tough. The player in question is Ibrahima Bakayoko.
Ibrahima Bakayoko. Yes. He was a beast.
He was an absolute
top. How many appearances did he make for Everton?
How many do you think, roughly? I'll give you a couple of games each way.
A couple of games, cheers, mate.
Do you want to come back to me?
Yeah, okay.
Not that I'm just going to count the games in my head, but I'm just thinking he was in and out of the side for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'll go. Are we going league appearances?
This was my question.
No, appearances, just appearances.
Just appearances. I'll go 35.
Not too far off. It's actually 24.
It's not bad, mate.
So that's not bad. That's within the realms.
I remember him being the most disappointing signing.
Was awful.
I was so excited that he was getting signed, and the only thing he did on an away game on the FA Cup, like early round, was on
Bristol
TV.
City.
He scored a belter.
He scored an incredible free kick against Bristol City. I actually saw. I think it was his only goal at Goodison Park. I was actually there. It was versus Southampton. It was in his fifth game, and he had the worst first touch you've ever seen. And apparently, the other Everton players used to really rinse him out. Like Don Hutchison used to just give him.
Oh man, when Don Hutchison is rinsing you out.
Apparently, he complained of being bullied on the training ground, and apparently, the protagonist was Don Hutchison, who would give him a really hard time about how poor a footballer he was.
Wow.
And don't say anything bad about Don Hutchison. Don Hutchison was a massively underrated player.
But come on, man. When you're getting dubbed out by him, I mean, it's tough.
Yeah, he was a good technical footballer, Don Hutchison. Well, really good technical footballer.
We'll see. But I think, so how do you feel about the Spurs going up to Anfield? Do you feel you think it's confidence 1.75?
So Justin's doing very well in his club, but I think Everton, Liverpool, Spurs will be. I think that will come in
a break.
Liverpool. I think Liverpool will score.
Yeah,
And I think Tottenham will score. I think both teams to score. Yeah. I've got a sneaking suspicion Liverpool will win that game.
Interesting.
I think it could put pay to Tottenham's league title ambitions. I think it's going to be a really tough game for Tottenham. Mm-hmm. The only thing that might stop Liverpool is Hugo Lloris. I think he's brilliant, and Mignolet's awful. So that could play to Spurs' advantage.
It's a fair point.
I think it's not a bad bet. It's not a bad bet.
Let's go over to Greg, who's got probably the biggest fixture of the weekend.
Yeah, I've gone for the big one, El Clasico. And to get a bit of value into that, because I got hammered on the WhatsApp group for taking the easy bet of both teams to score, which I think has come in something like, both teams have scored out of 14 out of the last 15 or something stupid.
It wouldn't have been allowed because it was 1.3, wasn't it?
No, it's 1.4, but I could have had it.
Oh, really?
But it was low. But I decided to go for that. You have to go onto the kind of extra special area of certain bookies websites to find the both teams to score and plus 2.5 goals, so over 2.5 goals
in
the game.
What was just over 2.5 goals?
I think it was ridiculously low.
Oh, really?
I think it was something
Hang on, sorry. That over 2.5 goals is 1.34.
Yeah.
But
if you put the two together, it's 1.57. So I'm hoping that it'll be 2-1 or more, basically, to either side, doesn't matter. But I think Barcelona will win 3-1, 3-2. But especially as it is, obviously, we have to pay tribute, I don't know if we did it on last time's show, to Johan Cruyff. So they'll obviously be having a massive tribute to him there at that match.
True.
And I'm hoping that the emotion and the whole spirit of it all is helps it become a really great match where everyone's trying to win, really.
Well,
so.
I mean, the last time there was a big tribute to a person who passed away, historic to a football club, was when Coventry City played Bury and Jimmy Hill, we had a tribute before the game, and we won 6-0.
Yeah.
So the same thing's going to happen to Barcelona.
They're going to win. Well, this is the Jimmy Hill rule. Are we going to call it?
Jimmy Hill tribute rule. But I think it's going to have a big, it's going to be an emotional cauldron there, isn't it? And Barcelona nailed on win.
They're talking of renaming the stadium, actually, this week.
Really?
They're thinking of calling, they've got
Cruyff Stadium.
Yeah, I don't know what they call it. Camp Johan or Camp Cruyff or something. Yeah, Cruyff kind of sounds quite nice, doesn't it?
There's a Johan Cruyff Park quite near me in North London.
Who's that?
Yeah, it's a little estate, and there's a little park in the middle that Johan Cruyff actually opened with Dennis Bergkamp. It's because it's quite near the Arsenal. And Dennis Bergkamp and Johan Cruyff opened it. So it's right in the middle of the state. It's a tiny little concrete bit. It's called Johan Cruyff Park. So that name's already gone. So the Camp Nou can't have it.
Copyright infringement.
It's the Elthorn Estate in North London.
Can you imagine if they did actually name it and they said, yeah, it's fine, you can name the same. And then loads of people coming from the continent, like Champions League games, and turning to that park instead of going to the new camp. Yeah.
Just on the Johan Cruyff, quick question. Mm-hmm. He's often rated in people's top three footballers of all time. Mm. He's rated in my top three footballers of all time.
Sure.
What about you guys? Top three footballers of all time?
I'd say he's higher. I'd say he's in the top one or two. I mean, other than my...
He's my number two.
You're number two? Yeah. I'd say Maradona's, for me, one of the greatest, so he'd be in there. And obviously, Mikel Antonio. So, not yet, Mikel. He's up there. He's up there for me. I think he was just incredible. He's just one of those players that's so graceful. Like someone, not that I've ever seen him play in real life.
Well, that's the only thing that's really difficult about it. When we talk about the greatest of all time, you know, people talk about Pelé, but our generation never got to really see Pelé play. We only see it in old footage. Yeah. And the same is true of Cruyff.
Yeah.
Maradona's the only, you know, Maradona's the one who's actually been in our lifetimes and we've seen him play. Yeah. I've got Maradona as, I think he's the best.
I think we have seen Cruyff as a manager as well. So I think in terms of what he's given to football, he's also one of the all-time legends in that.
Whereas
that
Maradona is an absolutely hopeless manager.
Yeah, but also one of the all-time great party animals. So that's
more than makes up for it. Nath, who's your best ever?
No, I think Maradona, you know, it's old hat, but you can't knock him, can you? But I would put Messi in there.
I was about to say, you're going to put Messi in there.
I would put Messi in there. And it kind of feels a bit weird because I think my third one is probably going to be Zizou. I absolutely love Zizou.
I love Zizou. But do you know, this is the reason I don't put Messi in there is because he's not as aesthetically pleasing to watch. Zizou, Cruyff, Maradona, it's like ballet with the ball. With Messi, it's like someone's cheating at a football game. They just, you know those old football games where the ball just sticks to their foot no matter what direction you run in. That's what it looks like when Messi's playing. Yeah. Whereas the others are all kind of, is it just balletic? Poetry. Is that the word?
Balletic. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I hear what you're saying. I do also hear what you're saying about the old players that you've not seen. Yeah. Because you'd probably shoe in Pelé, do you know what I mean? But at the same time.
Beckenbauer.
Beck the Kaiser, yeah. I mean,
do you know who
he was? Another graceful player, wasn't he?
I loved Walter Zenger.
Walter Zenger,
the goalkeeper.
Yeah, he was the goalkeeper.
Italian goalkeeper.
He was brilliant. He was brilliant.
Top five.
He was probably not even the best goalkeeper at that tournament.
I love Walter Zenger. I think he's got a shout, mate. He's got a shout. He's got to make the top six.
Yeah, it's controversial.
Along with Jamie Vardy.
I think he's even in the top 10 greatest players
in Italy.
No, but this is the thing, though. Like,
David Seaman.
No, it's a bit of a joke, but at the same time, though, if somebody has their top 3 or top 10 or whatever, like, it's because those players mean something to that person. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If somebody said Steve Claridge, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Some nonsense player. You'd be like, oh, the reason why is because he used to turn up every week at Portsmouth and he used to just like do everything that he wanted to do and all the fans loved him. You think he's one of the best, do you know what I mean? But Steve Clarence is a bit of a bit far, but do you hear what I'm saying? There's got to be some rationale
for
there.
Me, someone similar then maybe is like, he'd probably be in my dream, like my favourite 11, someone like Romario. Do you know, he wasn't the best striker. There are plenty of better strikers in, but just I remember at a certain time in my life just watching him play. I just thought that this guy doing little toe pokes and little flicky kind of goals to be like kind of busy bee up front, just scoring loads of crazy. I thought he was just a legend.
I mean,
but he wasn't the best. I don't think he's one of the best Brazilian. Well, yeah, he's pretty good Brazilian striker.
Well, he was at a time.
He's not in the top five.
He was at a time when Brazil were really struggling for goals. Yeah. Like the 1994 Brazilian team had no goals in it. Really,
better Romario front, wasn't it?
Yeah,
they weren't really. Apart from Romario, no one really scored any goals. And that team actually, you know, the final finished 0-0. There was very few goals in that team.
I know.
It was probably the first Brazilian team where it was really built on being on solidity rather than flair.
Or Dunga.
Dunga.
I think he's about to be sacked actually after this week. After a terrible Brazil drew again last night, I think so.
Paraguay, wasn't it?
Yeah. So he's going to be. struggling to keep his
But I think there's a lot in that. I mean, you know, most Man United fans would probably say Ryan Giggs. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Ryan Giggs is one of the greatest ever.
Say Henry or someone. Do you know, like?
I do take what you mean, but I guess the question I'm asking is who is objectively the best.
Walter Zenger's number one. So,
Walter Zenger, you heard it.
Objectively, Walter Zenger is the best player of all time.
The best person to ever step on a pitch.
He's not Johan Cruyff, it's Walter Zenger. I think Johan Cruyff, just to sum it up, I mean, deserves every accolade he gets.
Okay.
To be an absolute legend. But so, from going to move swiftly from Johan Cruyff and his amazing legacy to my second bet, which is Colchester versus Millwall. So a similar standard of football there.
Yeah, exactly the same thing, yeah.
Which is Colchester versus Millwall, both teams to score 1.66. Now I'm about to get hammered for this. I'm feeling.
I wouldn't say hammered. Hammered is probably the wrong word.
Okay.
I personally would much rather you were going for the Millwall win. Yes, Colchester beat Coventry, but as we've already established, everyone's beating Coventry at the moment. Mm. And yes, they beat Doncaster handsomely, but everyone's beating Doncaster at the moment, which is why the wild card's gone for it.
Yeah.
I just think Millwall, good form.
Yeah.
I do think there's a chance of it. I could see, for example, 3-1 Millwall coming off. I just feel more comfortable with the Millwall win than I would the BTTS.
I mean, on a side bet, I think that's good. I think I might do that personally anyway, not in the FBC, but I'm going to do a Millwall to win both teams to score.
Yep.
I think that makes sense. I think it'll be a goal fest. I think Colchester have found their scoring boots. They didn't have that earlier in the season. They were just getting hammered. They nearly beat your tip the other week where they were 1-0 up against Walsall, and Walsall came back, I think, and only won 2-1.
1-2-1, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm using this one game as a lot of my form for this, is that they had a 3-3 classic with Wigan. And Wigan are good.
Yeah.
Wigan are of a similar level to Millwall, I'd say. Yeah. Millwall probably a bit better than
me. Millwall got a bit more momentum at the moment.
Yeah, they have. And they did keep a clean sheet the other night. But I just think that there's a good chance. And the odds are quite low, which says to me that the bookies have thought about that as well. So it's 1.66. Normally, these kind of BTTS about 1.8. So
if I was... I really like that bet.
Okay.
I really like it. I think it's a good bet. I think that those teams down the bottom, I mean, Colchester are going to go and try and win that game. Millwall are in good form. They're a much better team. And I really like that. I think 1.66, it's fair. So if you want a round up of this week's full ACCA at eightfold, please do go on to www.thefootballbetclub.com. There's lots of feedback where you can put on the like comments and pages and things like that, and there's also our league standings depending on how we got on this season. And you know, have a little look, pick and choose as you will.
As I put that bet on, it's a 60-1 ACCA this week, just so everyone knows. Talking of money and
great
and financial information, this brings me on to my last question about Everton and Championship manager 0102.
Yep.
Oh, hello. 0102.
So this is Justin's. This is money time for him.
You're now building it up. It's wrong. If it's about money, it's going to be like, how much is Thomas Gravesen worth? And I have no idea.
No.
About
4.5, right?
I was going to say 4.5.
This is for Justin only, Nathan. Yeah. Back down. When starting with Everton in Championship 0102, how much money were you given in the transfer market to start?
Oh, great question. That is a great question.
And which three goalkeepers were at the club?
Okay, three goalkeepers at the club.
Completely independent questions there.
Three goalkeepers at the club. Paul Gerrard.
Oh, bang. Yeah. One.
Steve Simonsen.
Boom.
Two.
And Thomas Meira.
Oh, incorrect. Richard Wright.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Thomas Meier is not even in the reserves.
I only say that
because I've actually started the career on that one before. I'm pretty sure I put Thomas Meier in goal.
I'm really interested to see here Justin's bet about the main question, which is how much money in the transfer market.
You know,
I would quite like a shot at this.
You'd like a shot at it? Alright. It's pitifully low. It's ridiculously low, because I always have to go shopping in Sweden for like unknowns.
IKEA.
I think I'm going to go 2.4 million.
That is incorrect.
2.4.
Incorrect.
I don't think it's as low as that. I was going to go 6, but now that you've talked about it being really low, I'm going to say 4.1.
It is pitifully low. Not even anywhere near £325,000.
Oh my word! I should have got that. because I know that the only
financial ruin.
The only player I ever buy is Christian Bergstrom. He costs 250,000 and he's quality at left wing.
So if you're playing Championship Manager at 102, I mean, well, first of all, have a look at yourself in the mirror. You're still playing it right now, but I mean, yeah.
Excuse me.
Do you know what, actually,
can you tell me for a bonus point which three strikers were at the club? SC strikers.
SC, Duncan Ferguson.
Yeah.
I got a weird feeling. No. Hold on. Can you do whatever you've got to do and come back to me? I'm going to think about this.
Yeah, I'm completely.
Okay, so whilst Justin's thinking about that, we're going to go on to another area that I know lots about, which is the Global Bet.
Global Bet, I love the Global Bet.
Now,
how'd you get on last week, mate?
Well, it was pretty bad again.
What was it? I forgot.
I don't know. I do know. It was Jeff United.
Oh, you're in the JT League. Which is bordering on credible. Justin had heard of the team.
Yeah. Just again, this followed the Justin rule, which is not the Genko rule. It's the Justin rule. If he's heard of it, bet on it.
And so it must have come off, right?
No. Jeff, I got up at 6 a.m.
I never Saturday. Said my rule worked.
And Jeff was 0-0. So. The Japanese J2 League is never going.
You went all that way for a nil.
I went all that way. It was a good atmosphere there, though. Got on the plane, came back with my my pockets empty. and I'm very tempted. I've got to say, I'm very tempted this week to go back. And they say never go back, but there is a massive game on in the Palestinian West Bank League.
my favourite. And that came out. I love it.
And Shabab Al Fadhiliya are at 1.53 to beat Hilal Al Quds.
Didn't Shabab?
That's the team. But I'm not going to go back. That's a free global bet. But where I'm going is very close, and we are going this week to the Prince Faisal bin Farhad Cup.
Where's that?
UAE, surely.
Surely the UAE. And it's an under 23 tournament.
Oh my word! This is ropey.
And we're backing Al Qadisiya Al Kubar.
Is that one team?
That's one team.
All right, okay.
To be Al Aruba. And Al Qadisiya Al Kubar 1.5, and that is in the Prince Faisal bin Fahad Cup, and that's tomorrow afternoon at 1:35. So you're gonna have to listen to the podcast pretty quick to get that in. But
please,
there you go.
Please do not back the Global Bet of the Week. It is just a bit of a laugh. And
come on, back it. Join me. No.
Yeah, but whatever you do, gamble responsibly. We're going to go back over to Justin here, who is looking plain faced.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I'm really struggling. I've got a weird feeling John Spencer's there.
No, unless he's in the reserves. I didn't check the reserves.
You didn't check the reserves, because the other one I was going to say is definitely, I think, is in the reserves as well, and that's Phil Jevons.
Oh, again, it could be the two that
Phil
I saw.
Phil Jevons and John
Spencer.
I had a quick check.
I haven't got the game. So I only checked some screens from different things that I looked at on the line. The three that I saw.
Is Kevin Campbell not?
Kevin Campbell's in there.
0102.
Yeah,
he's there. He's in there. I've got.
Yes, he would have been in there.
Shocking!
And then Francis. Already. No, he wouldn't have.
Yeah, it was Kevin Campbell, Duncan Ferguson, and Radzinski.
I was about to say Radzinski. Radzinski was also attacking midfield left and
centre. No, he wasn't. He's SC. That is shocking. That is absolutely shocking on my part. Yeah, I don't think John Spencer won't be there. He would have been in there the season before. I've done poorly.
I thought you did pretty well
one.
Today. I mean, your Everton knowledge was outstanding. Championship manager, not too bad. Pretty good.
I feel that I wasn't really asked that much about Everton.
I did find out that in 2010 Everton did a deal with Sports Interactive. Do you know why they did a deal with them in 2010?
It's to do they use their scouting network.
Yeah,
they use the football,
which I thought was pretty incredible.
David Moyes oversaw the adoption of the Championship Manager or Football Manager scouting network.
Is there a link here with what we talked about earlier about how Ibrahima Bakayoko was signed in the late 90s? Maybe because he was really good in champ, and maybe that stayed through by Walter Smith. Maybe that stayed through the club up until this deal in 2010.
Well, I think the thing is I can't remember the name of the designers. They're both Everton fans. The guy who designed the brothers. They're called the Holly Brothers or something like that. I've forgotten. I've actually met them before at an Everton away game, but I can't remember their names.
Okay.
get them on Twitter, see if they can add to
But yeah, Gordon Strachan famously did that. That's how he signed Israel Zuniga and Walter Zavalos for Coventry, was off the back of Championship Manager.
Zuniga was basic.
I wonder if there's a betting angle here. I wonder if we can use the Championship Manager most recent edition to sort of look at and replay and simulate the games we're backing every week to see what happens.
You know, funnily enough, I am currently playing it, and in the first season, Leicester do really, really well.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
not top of the league.
So can you?
They're not top of the league, but they qualify for the Champions League in the first season.
Colchester versus Millwall this week. See both teams score.
Yeah, see the chances are.
I think I've gone beyond this season. Anyway,
Anyway, moving on. That's it, really, for this week.
So
isn't it?
Obviously, go on to thefootballbetclub.com, which for a roundup of each of our bets this week. Also, you can have a little bit of feedback on there on our website. There's also a what do you call it? The spreadsheet, and the spreadsheet kind of ranks all of our kind of performances through the start of the year, start of the season. So look at that, and maybe check or back some of the things that you like there, or maybe don't do that, which is maybe more advised, but we shall see. But you can follow the Wildcard on Twitter at @wildcard_FBC, at @Greg_FBC for Greg, Justin's at @FBC_Justin, and I am at @FBC_Nathan. Saturday afternoon, back on prime time.
Yeah, see you on Saturday afternoon. Can't wait.
We had to adjust it to Friday, didn't we? Because of the old international Easter weekend.
Thank goodness it's over.
Saturday and Sunday.
Normal time, normal place. We'll be in the money this week, no problem.
Oh, just quickly, I'm really surprised none of you backed Man United to beat Everton this week.
I was going to get both teams to score, but
don't go both teams to score. We will lose that game. 2.1 Man United, great price, I think. For considering we've won once there in the last 20 years, it is just it's an abyss for us.
But this could be the season with Man United so unpredictable that they could get something. You never know.
They will beat us. I would never back it myself because I never back against my own team, but 2.1 seems really generous for a team that beats us every year in that fixture.
Fair enough. Another tip that I was nearly going to put in, sorry, I know we're just extending this now, but Stoke versus Swansea will be BTTS. I'll just say that now, and it's at twos, and I think that will be, I'm just going to say that now, so next week I can say it came in. But anyway, there you go. Stoke.
I would just add into that, I would back a Hartlepool win at home, and also a Rotherham.
Rotherham Leeds. I had a look at
Rotherham,
that.
Thought, Rotherham Leeds.
Is that? Did you just sneak Warnock watching?
Yeah, I did.
We nearly managed to get out of it.
I actually haven't read it because I got slated. Actually, it was 50-50 on the feedback. One guy that we met said it was really good. The other guy on Twitter said it was nonsense.
I have to say
that was a 2.3.
I didn't read
2.3. Huge odds.
Yeah, I fancied that actually.
Yeah, Leeds are in terrible form, inconsistent. Yeah. Rotherham have won something like 5 out of the last 4 or something.
Yeah. So anyway, let's round this all off. So as always, we will be back next week to review what we've said and to put forwards our next bets. And you can check us out on thefootballbetclub.com. And that's it from us. So we'll see you till next week.
See you later. Bye-bye.